Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Hebrews chapter 3. So we are holy brothers who share together in a heavenly calling. Brothers of Christ, set apart for God's glory. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the one in whom you believe. He is your apostle who faithfully fulfilled the commission given him by God. He is your high priest who offered the perfect sacrifice on your behalf. To understand what God is wanting to do amongst us in this season, we need to appreciate afresh that he is our high priest. This wonderful book of Hebrews is there in the New Testament to bring us this revelation. The high priest was the one who offered sacrifices on behalf of the people. Of course, in the sacrificial system that took place in the temple, those sacrifices needed to be repeated again and again. But then Jesus comes and is the high priest in a totally unique sense. He only offers one sacrifice. But it's the perfect sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that comes out of having lived in perfect obedience to the Father. Having come and shared our weakness, being tempted in every way just as we are, yet he resisted all that temptation. In his weakness, he depended upon his Father and lived that life of perfect obedience to his will. But the commission for which he was sent as our apostle from heaven could not be fulfilled without his high priesthood. So he had to offer the sacrifice of the perfect life that he had lived. Because that was a perfect sacrifice, it would never need to be repeated. But it was the sacrifice that therefore covered every need, every negative thing, anything and everything that could be opposed to the will of his Father. Every imperfection was covered by that perfect sacrifice. But another unique thing is that this high priest not only offered the sacrifice, but was the sacrifice himself. Totally unique. No other high priest before him could be the sacrifice because no high priest had been perfect. But now he offers that one perfect sacrifice that never needs to be repeated. And he cried out in triumph just before he died, "It is finished. It is done. It is accomplished." Now, what was accomplished? What was finished? Was it simply that this sacrifice would make salvation possible for us? Or was there something far more significant in what Jesus was saying in that triumphant cry? You need to go back into the Old Testament just for a moment. The whole principle of the high priesthood is established there in the Old Testament. There, of course, as we've just seen, the weakness of human high priests that couldn't offer a perfect sacrifice. But in the Old Testament, God had a covenant people. A people who he claimed for himself as his own people, a people who were to set forth his praise. These are a people who I formed for myself that they might set forth my praise. And he reveals himself to these people. Now, he revealed himself in all kinds of ways to particular individuals, but there are seven ways in which he revealed himself to all the people. These seven ways are usually called the seven covenant names of God. They're the great statements of I am. You know that he revealed himself to Moses, I am who I am. And on seven occasions, to all the people, he revealed himself as I am in these seven ways. The ways he wanted to be in relationship with his people Israel. Now, we know the failings of the Old Covenant. I'm not going to spend time going into that, how the people of Israel constantly failed to fulfill their side of the covenant. God, of course, is never changed by our failure. Nothing in God ever changes, no matter what we do. So these seven things about God have always been true of God. And therefore, they had to be revealed in Jesus. Jesus had to reveal himself in these seven ways in order to fulfill the old covenant. Remember, he said, I haven't come to destroy the law, I've come to fulfill it. Now, the only way he could fulfill it is by faithfully being these seven things. Not really things, but expressions of who God is. Now, the importance of the cross is that through the victory that he has won on the cross, all those seven expressions of God are ours. You see, in the Old Covenant, God could be all these things to his people, but now he is all these things in his people. That is the transformation that has come about through the New Covenant. So when he was crying out in triumph, it is finished, part of what he was signifying is everything that has been necessary for my Father to be the covenant God within his people has now been accomplished. All these seven expressions of I am will become true of all those who belong to me. I am, so they are. Now, it's important that we understand, therefore, how God has fulfilled this plan that he had even when he established the old covenant. He has fulfilled that on the cross, and his purpose is to see the outworking of that fulfillment in each one of our lives personally and in the life of his body corporately. You are who you are because he is who he is. Now, don't get caught up in the Hebrew. People like to try to quote these seven things in the Hebrew. I can never remember the Hebrew of them, and it doesn't matter. What God wants is the reality of his presence and of his power in your life, not that you can quote seven Hebrew phrases. Get real. There's no glory in remembering the Hebrew. First, he is the Lord who is present. Now, his presence began on top of a mountain, and Moses went up into the presence of the Lord. He brought the presence down, and they had the tent of meeting, the tent of God's presence just outside the camp, where Moses would go to meet with the Lord, and all the people would stand at the entrance of their tents and watch him and wait for him to come out with the latest revelation from God. But of course, when God sent his Son, the presence of God came in a totally different way. Now God himself was physically present among his people. Wherever Jesus was, God was physically present in his beloved Son. But the great desire of the Lord was summed up in what Jesus said at the Last Supper, that he who is with you will be in you. God had been building up all the way through the Old Covenant and all the way through the gospel teaching of Jesus Christ, working towards the point where the Lord who is present would be not only present with his people, and that was going to be true because Jesus said, when any two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. But he was going to go beyond that because he that was with them would be in them. So when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he said, it is done, it is finished. Now, Father, your longing and desire to be in your people can be accomplished. The longing in the Father's heart, so great was his love for his children that he didn't want to love them from afar in heaven. He didn't even want to come and be among them. He wanted to come and live within them. Now, Father, Jesus is crying on the cross. Now, Father, that great eternal desire that you have had to live within your children, it's accomplished. It's made possible by this sacrifice that I'm offering you. It is done. Now your dream, now your longing can be fulfilled. I wonder how we understand the longing in God's heart. His longing for you. His longing for your attention. His longing for your time. His longing for your affection. You see, he loves you so much, and love draws a response of love. How can our prayer time, how can our spiritual lives be a duty or a routine when we're responding to such amazing love? The love that draws us to himself, that sacrifice that opened up the way into the heavenly Holy of Holies so that even now we can draw near to the throne of grace where we find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. We draw near, he says, come near, because we're responding to the great longing of his love. What love prompts God even to desire to come and live in you? And Jesus cries out, "It is done. Now, Father, you can come and live in your children who you love so dearly." Do you know how much he loves you? No, you don't. You don't have any idea how much he loves you, really. If we could understand how great his love, I don't think we would ever sin against him. We would never disobey him. We would never fail him. Jesus said, "Those who love me obey my commands." What do we need? Just a greater and greater and greater and more wonderful revelation of his love, of just how great that love is. How can we understand the way God wants to pour his life and his love, his power, his healing and everything else into our lives if we don't appreciate just how much he loves us? And it's not emotional love, is it? It's not based on feelings. It's that agape love, that love that is expressed in giving, love that is expressed in serving. That this high priest now is in the heavens, still serving us, it says in the letter to Hebrews, serving us in the power of an eternal, indestructible life. Not just serving us while he was on earth, now he eternally lives in heaven to serve us in the power of that eternal, indestructible life. How much he must love you. Where's all that patience come from? All the times when he's forgiven and restored. You've stubbornly refused to obey him and you've done your own thing. And he said, "Don't judge," and you've judged. And he said, "Forgive," and you haven't forgiven. And yet, still his love for you has never failed. I am the Lord who is present. Then he says, "I am the Lord, your shepherd." He was always the shepherd. David knew him as the shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd." And David understood what it meant for him to be a shepherd. "I shall not want." But then we look in the prophecy of Ezekiel and we see how the shepherds of Israel failed God, failed his people, failed to be the kind of shepherds that God wanted. And so he said, "I will come and I will shepherd my people myself." One of his complaints about the shepherds of Israel is they didn't heal his people. They didn't bind up their wounds. So he said, "I will come. I will heal them. I will bind up their wounds." And so when Jesus comes, he reveals himself as the good shepherd. But the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Bringing about a dramatic transformation in the whole relationship that God's people can have with him. In the Old Testament, they needed prophets to be able to hear his voice. But now God says, my sheep will hear me. Not just the prophets, not just the leaders, but my sheep will hear me. And they will follow me. They will know my voice. And they will follow me. I am the good shepherd. But you see, he can only be that because, again, he has laid down his life. So this great shout of triumph, it is finished. Now, Lord, your people can be properly shepherded by the good shepherd. All the human shepherds will always fail. They will never, ever succeed in being comparable to the good shepherd. But even the leaders, even the shepherds of his people can hear his voice and follow him. And the people can together go with God, follow in the way that he leads. Because those who are his sheep hear his voice. How do you know whether someone belongs to the Lord? Well, they hear his voice. Mind you, they've only got to open their Bibles to do that. But the Word of God becomes the voice of God. To a believer, the Word of God is the voice of God. You don't need an audible voice. You don't need some particular revelation when you pray. You open your Bible and you hear the Good Shepherd. The one who laid down his life for you that you can hear him. And know him and follow him. But you see, in that great and expansive and wonderful love that can never be fully understood, in that love, he shepherds you. You can rejoice always. Because it doesn't matter what's happening in your experience, he's shepherding you. Even through the tough times, he's shepherding you. He will lead you. He will take you through the dark nights and back into the daylight. He will take you through the valleys and bring you back onto the mountaintops. You only have to hear his voice and follow him. And he is the perfect shepherd. There are no mistakes in what God even allows to happen to you. Because you see, no matter where you are or what is happening or what is being said or what is being done to you, God is saying, I am here. I am in you. I am present. I am your shepherd. What are you worried about? Why are you complaining? What is there to complain about? If I am your shepherd, if I am leading you, you can be thankful in every situation because I am with you and I am your shepherd. And there's never been a shepherd like me, nor will there ever be one like me. You're perfectly loved and perfectly shepherded. If you've got any complaints with a human shepherd, go to the divine one. God had always longed, you see, to shepherd his people, not from afar, but from within. Know my voice. Hear my voice. Hear me speaking my words of life and spirit, of encouragement, faith into your heart,
follow me.
It is finished. So we have the Good Shepherd within us and over us and with us and leading us. What a privileged people. Then the third of these covenant names, God says, I am the Lord, your peace. He is not, I am the Lord, your greeting. Shalom, hi folks, peace, have a good day. He is not, I am the Lord, your greeting. He says, I am the Lord, your peace. What did the cross do? The cross made it possible for Jesus to be our shepherd because he laid down his life for the sheep. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. He died that we might have peace with God, peace within ourselves, be able to live at peace with others. Peace was his parting gift to the disciples. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Peace such as the world cannot give, do I give to you. So the peace that the scripture says is beyond all understanding, but it will keep your heart and mind in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's not the absence of war or the absence of noise when the kids are gone to bed. It's the impartation of being at one with God. And that's what the cross is all about. It is the atonement. It is the action that made us one with the God of peace. He is the God of all peace, it says in the scripture. And so we have peace with God. We don't have anxiety, we have peace. We don't have fear, we have peace. We don't have dread of the future, we have peace. We don't get upset when things happen to us, when people do things to us that they shouldn't do or say what they shouldn't say. We have peace. Because he bore the punishment that gave us peace. See, I am your peace. Not I will be, I am. And I am your peace, not because I do something in your life today, but because I did something for you 2,000 years ago. What I did to be your peace is already accomplished. It is done. It is finished. It's accomplished. Not I will be your peace when we've sorted this out and that out and the other way. No, I am your peace. I have done everything to be your peace. If you're not at peace, you're not living at one with me in the way that I have made possible through my blood. I guess that disappoints him because it cost him so much to give us that peace. It must disappoint him when we don't live in it. But he has given us that peace that is beyond all understanding. The love is beyond understanding. The peace is beyond understanding. Can you understand what it means? To be at peace with God, it means that God's got no issues with you. It means God's got no issues with you. You might not yet be living in perfection, but he's got no issues with you. If he wants to deal with you, he will. Wants to confront you with something, he will. Wants to sort something out in your life, he will. And that's when you lose your peace until you let him do it. And he brings you to that place of peace where, well, now I've got no issues with you. Now, if you responded to what I've said, you can enjoy my peace. I've got no issues with you. Oh, when we're not at peace, we blame someone else. Well, it's him or it's her. It's what he did. It's what she said. God said, no. I am your peace. If you're not at peace within, then you've got an issue with me and I've got an issue with you. Let's sort it out because I don't want to have any issues with you. I want you to enjoy my peace. There could never be peace with the sacrifices of bulls and goats. But with the perfect sacrifice, Jesus bore our punishment for all those issues, so that now we are at peace. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you this morning? You see, it's your inheritance. We're co-heirs with Christ, so you inherit that presence. You inherit his shepherding. You inherit his peace. It's his provision for you. Then I am the Lord, your provider, or the Lord who will provide. Oh, God, forgive us! Because as soon as that word is mentioned, the Lord is my provider, we think of money. God, forgive us. He didn't die to give us money. How narrow our understanding of his provision, if that's what we think, if that's how we pray. Oh, Lord, you are my provider, so I thank you that I need that check to pay my fees. God, forgive us. That's a tiny, infinitesimal part of his provision. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Not so you should have the money you need. So that you might receive everything you need for life and godliness. That's the provision, the scripture says. Peter understood it. God has given us everything we need for life. And godliness, the provision isn't in the future. Even the provision of money isn't in the future. The total provision of all we need for life and godliness is in the past. It happened when Jesus said, "It is finished. Now your people, Father, can have everything they need for life and godliness." God, forgive us for demeaning his name in such a way. Oh, the everything for life includes whatever finances we need, whatever housing we need, whatever practical needs we have. But it's so much greater, you see. Everything you need. I mean, what's Jesus saying as he says that? Father, it is finished. Now everything they need for godliness, to be like you, Father, I've done it. I've accomplished it. It's finished. Now they can be the godly people that you've always wanted. And they say, "Thank you, Lord, for a check for £20. Yes, thank the Lord for £20. But I mean, all for godliness transcends £20.
Come on.
It is done. If you don't manifest that godliness in the way that is possible, it's because you haven't appropriated what he's done. Why has God put the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of godliness, within you? Why does Paul say to his young apostolic assistant, pursue godliness? Because he knew that on the cross, Jesus provided everything we need for godliness. Of course, if we don't want godliness, we won't pursue it. And that's like saying, well, thank you, Jesus, for dying that I can be godly, but no thank you. There's this that I want to do, and there's this that I would like, and this is what I want for myself, and this, I want the ministry. He says, I want you to be godly. So, he is the Lord who provides. Excuse me. My throat isn't used to this revival preaching. I haven't been doing it for a few years. But it's coming back. You might notice the difference. It's because I got revived last week. Praise God. About time. I am the Lord, your banner, your victory. Your victory. It is done, it is finished, it is accomplished. It's a cry of victory. Victory over what? Victory over sin. Victory over Satan. Victory over every demonic power. Victory over every lying, deceiving spirit. Victory over all sickness, all oppression, all brokenheartedness, all disappointment, fear. Total victory. Over everything that can come against God's people to oppress them. Total victory. Total, complete victory. Nothing omitted. And to prove it, he rose victoriously from the grave. Not even death could hold him. Because he'd been victorious on the cross. If he wasn't victorious on the cross, death would have held him captive. But not even the power of death could hold him because of his perfect victory. And he says, I am the Lord, your victory, your banner. Your deliverer. Oh, hallelujah. What a God. So we're not fighting to win a victory. We're living in the victory that he has already won. He has already established. It's already ours. Now, Father, they can live in the victory that you've always wanted them to live in. There doesn't have to be that cycle of failure and defeat that has been in the history of your people Israel. Now they can live in victory. It is done. What a God. What a God. I said, what a God. Then he says, I am the Lord,
your righteousness. Well, he's atoned for our sins. He's made it possible for us to be put right with God and acceptable to him. That puts us in the position of righteousness with God. But he's saying, no, much more than that. He's saying, it is done, Lord. Now, not only can they be a righteous people, but they can live in righteousness. You can be their righteousness day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. It is done. Their righteousness no longer depends upon what they do, but what I have done for them. It is done. It is finished. You see, what is implicit in that cry is, Lord, now they can do your will. Jesus could have said on the cross, Father, 3 years ago I preached and told them to pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now it is done. They can do it. Because you are their righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is done. It is finished. It is accomplished. So we don't have a righteousness of our own. We're not trying to acquire a righteousness of our own. We're not trying to impress God or anybody else with a righteousness of our own. We are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. What a God. How total, how complete. What he has done. And then the seventh. It was actually the first of these seven ways in which he revealed himself, but we've kept it to a seventh. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the Lord who heals you. God, forgive us. We've done with healing just what we've done with provision. We've narrowed it down so much. To take this ache and pain away, Lord. See, what does it mean to be healed as far as God is concerned? It means to be made whole in spirit, in soul, in body. You see, Paul says, when he says, We are complete in him. We are complete in him. In him we're made whole. He is the Lord, our healer. He has done it. Do we believe it? Do you believe what the scripture says, that you are complete in him? Oh, you believe it says it. But believing it says it in the word is not believing it. It's not looking at your life and saying, I'm complete. In Christ I am made whole in spirit, soul, and body. That's how God sees me, because my Savior cried out on the cross, it is done, it is accomplished, it is finished. And at that moment, he made me complete. Huh.
And we struggle with this issue and that issue, this healing, that matter, this one, right? Because we don't believe we've been made complete. We look at the imperfections and don't believe our righteousness. We look at the aches and pains and don't believe that we have been healed by his stripes. You see, it's not if I've got some infirmity, I say, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. So I'm trying to convince myself that I'm healed because of his stripes. That lacks total revelation that when he died, I was healed. I was made whole. I was made complete in him. There was an old Pentecostal chorus. Let me tell you some of the old Pentecostal choruses. They might have been very simple, but how profound. We are complete, complete, complete in him. And people would sing it. I've heard that song. I mean, we sang it back in the revival in Luton. Sometimes we would sing that perhaps for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, where we are complete, complete, complete in him. But let me tell you, after 10 minutes of singing that, you believe it. We don't always need the fancy songs with the voice and the chorus and the bridge and everything else. Sometimes there just needs to be the cry of our hearts, I am complete in him. Right. It's not going back to a former kind of music. I'm not suggesting that. It's just going back to the truth. That was just expressing a truth. I am complete in him. We sing a song, it might have a phrase in it, I'm complete in him, but then in the next 30 seconds we've sung about 25 other truths and we've forgotten that little phrase, I'm complete in him. But you take a truth and you keep affirming it and you keep affirming it and you keep affirming it and you keep affirming it, and something happens in your spirit, you begin to believe it. I am complete in him. I really am. Not just because the book says so, but because of what Jesus has done. Made whole in spirit, soul, and body. See, you see yourself like that. You don't see yourself through your feelings. You don't see yourself through your experiences. You don't see yourself through any pain or ache or anything else. You see yourself in him. And you see yourself complete in him. You see, totally loved because he is present within you. The Lord, your righteousness. The Lord, your peace. The Lord, your banner. The Lord, your victory. You suddenly realize it is finished. It is done. How often in prayer are we asking God to do what he's done? And not even God can do what he's done. If he's done it, it's for us to believe he's done it. He can't do what he's done. If he's done it, it's for us to believe that he's done it. What a God, made provision in every way for life and godliness.
Yes, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Oh, Jesus, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Lord. You know, there came a moment in my life and God has restored that to me in these days, last days, when I knew I could never have an unmet need in my life, that every prayer I prayed would be answered. I'm back in that place because, you see, it's coming back to that basic realization. It is all done.
If I'm laying hold of the scripture and sowing the word of God of what is done, then God will have to watch over that word to perform it because he is faithful. And there can't be any doubt about the outcome because he's done it. I'm not asking him to do it, he's done it. If I believe he's done it, I can say to any mountain, get out of here. Because I am complete in Christ. And having you around is nothing to do with my completion in Christ. So get out. And you don't have to be polite about it. Hallelujah. Ora taparasituba. Now, let's just draw this not to a close, but to a beginning. Our God is the Holy God. And we began by praising him as the Holy One who is here. We're on holy ground this morning. But he doesn't say in any of these covenant names, I am your holiness, the Lord your holiness. No, what he says is, I am the Lord who is present. I am the Lord who is your shepherd. I am the Lord who is your peace. I am the Lord who provides. I am the Lord your banner, your victory. I am the Lord your righteousness. I am the Lord your healer. And you put all that together, and that's holiness. You see, for God to say that I'm holy, we can't really grasp exactly what that means. So what he's done for us is he's broken it down and given it to us in digestible pieces. But you put it all together, and what do you come up with? I am complete in him. He has given me everything I need for life and godliness. His spirit lives within me, the spirit of holiness. I am one of his holy children that he has set apart for himself. He provides in every way for life and godliness. He is the God who makes me whole, because holiness is wholeness. And so I am at peace with the Holy One. What a God. Let's stand. Just lift your hands and begin to worship the Holy One. Thank him that you are complete in him. Complete in him. Not complete in yourself, but complete in him.
You don't sound very thankful. Complete. Complete in Him. It is done. It is finished. It is accomplished. He has given you everything you need for life and godliness through the very great and precious promises that He has given us. Come on, thank Him. Thank Him that He's made you complete in Him. He has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That He has made you whole in Christ, in spirit, soul, and body. It is done. It is finished. It is accomplished. Ora la manzaria leto bacala sito di sarato palato parasito ba. Balandari eleno masatari eleto bacala sito di sato bacala sundama. Balandari eleno masatari eleto bacala sito di sandoba. Ora la basatari eleto bacala sito ba. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am the Lord who is present. Come on, praise Him that He is present not only with you, but He is present within you. He doesn't take His presence away from you. Hallelujah. He's stuck with you. He's stayed with you through every situation and every circumstance. When you pleased Him, when you failed Him, still He is present. He is the Lord who is present with you always. Lo, and lo, I am present with you always, even to the end of the world. Hallelujah. End of the age. The presence of the Holy One, the presence of the Mighty One, the presence of the Glorious One. Ora la basandaria lenoma. Bora la mazataria lero bacala sito di sataria lero bacala sito ba. Balandaria lero bacala sito di sataria lero bacala sito di sandoma. Balandari elero bakara situri satari elero bakara situri sandoma. I am the Lord your shepherd. Come on, praise Him that He is the Lord your shepherd. You know His voice. Because He is present within you, you know His voice. And you follow Him. He is the good shepherd who laid down His life for you. He laid down His life for you. The Word of God declares, if He laid down His life for you, then we are to lay down our lives for one another. Hallelujah, we praise You, Lord. We bless You, Jesus. Pura la basatar barasata bakala zata balanduma.
Balandari elero bakala sito di satari elero bakala sidoma. Balandari elero bakala sito di satari elero bakala sito di sandoma. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I am the Lord, your peace. Come on, thank him that he bore the punishment that brought you peace. That he could cry out, it is finished. It is done. It is accomplished. Everything. That they might know your peace, Father. They might know your peace. Oh, rala basandari eleto bakarasita risatuba. Oh, rala masala batandari eleto bakarasita risanduma. Oh, rala masatari eleto bakarasita risanduma. Oh, rala masatari eleto bakarasita risatari eleto bakarasinoma. Oh, Ramdari Elena Mazatapara Zatapara Situba. Oh, Ramdari Eletuba Kalasita Rizatuba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pura la 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 masandari elena masatari elera bakarasituba. I am the Lord your provider. Come on, thank him. He has provided everything you need for life. Let's just stay with the life for a moment. He has provided everything. He has provided, you see. He is your provider. It is done. It is finished. Everything is provided for your life. Pura la masatari elero bakarasito risatuba. Borandari eleno masatari elero bakarasito risanduba. Bulandari eleno masatari elero bakarasito risato bakalasunduma. Everything, everything, everything. Everything, everything, everything. Everything. Everything you could ever need. Everything you need for godliness. Come on, thank him. You have everything you need for godliness. Ora la masatari elero bakarasituba. Balandari elero bakarasituri satari elero bakarasinoma. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Pura la masa tapara tapari eledo bakarasi tuba. Ora la masa tari eledo bakarasi turizatuba. I am the Lord, your banner, your victory. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. There's no defeat. There's no defeat. There's no defeat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pora la basata para zeta bakala zituba. Yes. Yes. Poralabazata parabataraba. Balalabazata parielero bakarasito ba. Your victory isn't in the future, it's in the past. You have the victory. He's won the victory. He is your victory. He is your banner. Beloved, he's raised that banner over your life, and it's the banner that has victory written on it. You don't have to get all sentimental and say his banner over us is love. That love is expressed in his victory. Come on, thank him for the victory. He is your banner, your victory. Hallelujah. 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 He is the Lord, our righteousness. Of course, his banner over us is love. This is all his love, isn't it? Hallelujah. Come on. I am the Lord, your righteousness. I am the Lord, your righteousness. Oh, he's cried out to the Father, it is done. Now they can live as your righteous people. Now they can live in your total acceptance. Now they can do what is right in your eyes. Now they can live to please you and to glorify you. It is done. It is finished. You're not very excited about this one. Oh. His righteousness has dealt with every issue of your soul. Just like his healing deals with every issue in your body. Come on. Just praise him. Praise him. Oh, rala basa tapari elera bakara sito ba. Come on, I am the Lord your healer. Thank him. You are made whole. Come on, come on. Don't look at your feelings. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at your faith. Look at the truth. Thank you, Lord, that when you cried out, it is done, it is finished. You made me whole in Christ. You made me whole in spirit. You made me whole in soul. You made me whole in body. You have done it.
Revival is a work of the Spirit of God. You're learning an important principle, Sunday and today. Jesus said the first thing the Holy Spirit will do is guide you into all the truth. This is where revival starts, getting right back to the truth and believing it. Not believing part of the truth, not believing an interpretation of the truth.
but believing that God has done the completeness of what he says he has done. And we live in the good of that. Saturday, God breathed his spirit into me afresh, and I came back from a time away. Knowing that God had done in me what I've been longing for him to do and that he needed to do. So what was the first thing I did when I got home? I mowed the lawn. So the lawn needed mowing. It'd been too wet to mow. I mowed the lawn. I didn't lose the spirit. I didn't lose revival. I didn't lose what God has done because I was mowing the lawn. I was just doing what needed to be done, because you do not get super spiritual. When you get revived, you do not get super spiritual. You get spiritual, but not super spiritual. You do all that you need to do. You live your life out, doing all that you're supposed to do, but somehow it's all different. The way things happen is different. The ease with which things happen is different. There's so much more of God about what you do, even when it comes to practical things. Come on, let's just lift our hands and worship him, the Holy One, the Holy One, the Holy One. Pura la bazata para zata para sitori satari elero bakala sitori sandama. Balada para zata pari elero bakala sitori sandama. Balada pari elero bakala sitori sandama. Balada parada parazito ba. Now, you know, sometimes God puts us under pressure when we have a time frame. Years ago, we had a time frame when we needed revival during the Hyde, and we had to abandon all our plans over a holiday weekend and just seek God, meet with God. He turned up, and a whole revival began. I was desperate at that time for God to do what he needed to do. As I went apart from him last week, there was no desperation, because God had said to me, in your well, remember he was talking about the wells last week? He said, in your well there is revival. I'm just going to bring you back to you. You're just going to reach down into the well. You're going to take back that which is yours. So there was nothing frantic, nothing desperate about it. It's just God working through a whole process and then just blessing the way that he did. But you see, I went away with this knowledge. In these 3 days, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. It's got to happen now. That was my attitude. And I had this promise on the third day. God just said that on the third day. Didn't say exactly what he would do on the third day, but on the third day. I'm only telling you this because, you see, whatever God wants to do in you, he needs to do in you now. I mean in this season, this week. This is not, okay, Pastor Colin's got blessed, he's on fire at present. you know, people were saying about Sunday, wow, what a meeting, what a word, whoa. No, no, no. You need to say, what a God, because you've met with him in a fresh way. You've got revived yourself. And you're not saying, oh, what a great meeting, what a great word. You're saying, oh, what a great God. That God who loves me like that, that God who has made me whole, that the God who has made me complete in him. What a God. It doesn't have to be a desperation about it, just a determination. Right, I'm not going to miss out now. What God is doing is for everyone, every one of us. Every one of us. I'm not going to just get blessed because Pastor Collins got blessed. I'm going to go to the fount of blessing myself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands to him. Thank him that you're here at this season. Because his purpose is for the whole body, not just as here at Rafi, but for the whole body. This didn't begin. What God did not begin in the college. It began in the body on Sunday. Because his concern is for the whole body. In the past, things have often begun here and then flowed out into the body. But no, it began with the body. That's God's concern for the whole body. The whole body here is under attack because the enemy knows important things are being birthed at this time. And he is going to be rubbished. The enemy is going to be rubbished. Come on, you just cry from your heart now that all this revelation of the truth would become so real to you. You don't have to have an experience. I made that clear. I wasn't seeking any kind of experience. God will release his spirit in you in whatever way, but just thank him for the revelation of truth. That you see, I just spent those 3 days receiving the truth, receiving the truth, receiving the truth, receiving the truth. Why? Because it's knowing the truth that sets you free. The spirit of truth will guide you into all the truth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, thank him. Thank him. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Purata papa razata papa haraba. Ora landaria lero bakarazito risatuba. Balandaria lero bakarazito balanama. Ora la bazata balazata bakarazito. Oh, you remember, you know, when you were kids, small kids at school, and there always used to be those that always wanted to answer all the questions, you know. And they would be the first ones to put their hands up and say, oh, me, miss, or oh, me, sir. That's how God wants you to be this week. Me, Lord, me, Lord, me, Lord. There's that eagerness. There's that. He's reaching out to you. You're reaching out to him. There's going to be connection. Amen. Oh, it's going to be connected. There's going to be many connections. Oh, Ratapara Zaraba. We've been connecting with the truth this morning. Come on, reach out to him and say, me, sir. Me, Lord. Me, Master. Me. Oh, Ralaba Zatabari Aleraba. Oh, Ralaba Zatabari Aletuba. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't sound longing enough. Oh, ralabazata barama. Oh, ralabazata barielera bakarazituba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, ralabazata barielera bakarazita balanduma. Oh, ralamazata barielera bakarazituba.
Yes. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Tora la bazata pari. Ora la bazatuba. Oh, mama marazanama. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what the Lord thy God will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Hallelujah! 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 Praise you, Jesus. Come on, just thank him. Just thank him for what he's done in you this morning. We pray at all times with thanksgiving, so thank him. Oh, thank you, Lord. I am complete in you. It's your word. I'm made whole in spirit, soul, and body. It's your word. That you are my peace, it's your word. That you are present with me and within me, it's your word. That you are my shepherd who leads me, it's your word. Thank you that I have peace with you, it's your word. Thank you that you have provided me with all I need for life and godliness, it's your word. Thank you, Lord, that you're my righteousness, it's your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are my victory, it's your word. I know no defeat because you are my victory. And I praise you. And I bless you. And I exalt you. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.